Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. Hey guys, thanks for joining in for part two with Beth and Larry Robertson. As you remember, Beth and Larry were just about to see empty nest in their lives and all the plans they'd made together when the Lord asked them to take in four children within their community. So join me as we continue our conversation with Beth and Larry Robertson.
In the summer of 19, I think, it was pretty clear that DCS was moving for termination of parental rights. And so we kind of got the green light from them to float the idea of adoption out to the children. And we just happened to be in Panama City Beach with both of our girls, and only one of them was married at that point. But the whole family was there, and we floated the idea, and the kids just erupted, with elation. I mean, they were so excited. And we obviously expected it to happen much quicker, but it didn't. It took another, was it 19 or 18? Now that I think about it.
It was 2019.
Mm-hmm. And it was later that year that termination of parental rights happened, but then COVID hit and the courts shut down. Right. And so what should have been in early 2020 happened in the summer of 2021, but it happened. And the kids were just elated, excited all the way through. They're still excited. They remember where they came from. They sometimes tell stories. But they seem to really be glad. And I still remember so vividly when they began calling us mom and dad. That was huge. Beth was Miss Robertson.
It's funny,
she is at school.
They called me Miss Robertson, and they called Larry Mr. Larry, and so everybody at church got so tickled at them calling me Miss Robertson and Mr. Larry. But that's just because they knew me. That's how they knew me. That's what they called me. So
then they started calling you mom and dad, I guess, after that conversation at the beach.
It wasn't immediate, but it was later that year.
This gives us great hope, you know, that what we know, you know, when Kevin and I first got married, I've shared this several times, started having our kids and I'm reading parenting books. This was not taught, but now we know what the Bible was true all along, that God's word is far beyond science, that healing relationships rewire, redirect, they heal the deep ruts of our brokenness in our broken brains. And this just gives us great hope because, you know, what's broken in relationship can only be healed in relationship. And Jesus was such a perfect example of that. You know, he came, put on flesh, entered our brokenness, and brought us relationship through God the Father, through himself. I don't know of another picture this side of heaven that portrays that any better than stories like this. Guys, I know that you have just, the Lord, you've just fallen in love with these kids, and God gave you, has just continues to give you deep wisdom when they share stories that, I know for me sometimes, stories that my kids can share or kids that I work with in foster care, it can rock your boat and it's alarming, but the Lord gives you a great peace to walk through that so that you're a calming adult in the room and presence. And the Lord teaches us so much. But what are some things that maybe, I know you guys were kind of four adults, right? When these kids, you and Morgan and Becca, when the kids came into your home. Yeah. What are some aha moments or maybe some things the Lord taught you all through this process? Because you had 4 years of really not knowing which way this thing was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, for me, one of the biggies, you know, I mentioned earlier that it was sort of like we were riding our horses into the sunset. I mean, we were early 50s, right around 50. So, you know, I was looking at the next 15 years of my life and was just looking forward to the sunset.
Yeah.
And But God had other plans. Yeah. And now I cannot imagine the next 15 years the way that I used to, because I want to spend the rest of my life truly making a difference, not believing that the difference I made is behind me, but the difference that my life can, our lives can make is now and is tomorrow and even generations to come. And it's one of those examples of where God's vision is just so much bigger than your vision. And what I had, of course, I could take you to different eras of my life and show you how small my vision was when I was 20 and 25 and 30 and all that. But you know, this is another example of how I had this idea and God said, just wait.
That's right.
I sometimes joke that God knew we were binge watching too much Netflix. You know, our kids were grown and gone, but it was really more than that. There was something inside of us that was sort of, you know, we've raised our kids and now it's us. And certainly mom and dad, husband, wife need to keep that priority, no doubt. But I'm so grateful that it's not just us. It's us plus. And our daughters were 100% on board from the beginning. And so it is just a beautiful kind of thing. And so as far as an aha moment, I would just say that expect God's vision to be bigger than your vision for your family. Whatever it is that you think you're capable of or that God wants to do, God's vision's bigger.
We, you know, as far as going through the classes and everything, you know, I first went into the classes thinking, you know, I'm not really sure what these classes are going to teach me because, you know, I've already raised two kids and I've kind of got this parenting thing, you know.
Oh, okay, Beth. I think that I teach those classes now. I teach the advanced trauma classes, and I think I'll be honest, I think we're all thinking that when we start those classes. But you had, I mean, your girls are incredible. I know them. They're just precious. But also, you had the four in your home. You're teaching. You're still working. You're probably thinking, oh, my goodness, I've got to go to these classes. Like, right. You know, so I get it. Yeah.
But, I mean, I learned so much about, you know, trauma and triggers and those adverse childhood experiences, those ACEs, which our kids had, were very high on that scale. And it's just, you know, I guess my advice is, you know, don't ever think you're too old to learn something, because there's a whole world and a community out there that I really was not involved with. And I mean, teaching public school, I mean, I see it a lot, but at the same time, where I teach, we didn't have a lot of kids go into state custody, you know? And so it was very eye-opening, and just like to keep your eyes open and to never miss an opportunity, you know, to be the hands and feet of Christ. So,
yeah. And, you know, I can remember, Kevin shares stories y'all have heard about us bringing the kids in, especially when JM joined our family from the Philippines.
Yes.
And just, you know, just to appreciate all that we have, you know, a warm shower.
Yes.
Knowing my kids have never had to worry about their next meal like some that I have now did. You know, that was always a big issue for them. And so it is amazing the things the Lord teaches you, things that I really needed to know. And he had to teach me that. He's still teaching me. It's a lifelong learner, but he's still teaching me. But things that I really needed to back up and kind of relearn or know in life. I'm sure you guys have found that as well.
Right. Yes. There were, and just, you know, for me to be, you know, have my eyes open to even students in my class that might not be in foster care, but might have some other issues. You know, all of ours, I would say, have food insecurities.
Yes.
And that was huge. I had no clue about any of that. And, you know, I mean, we haven't had any major, like, terrible experiences, but it hasn't been all sunshine and roses either.
Right, you know what I mean? Right.
So,
I'll tell you a story. So I'm meeting with a church planter in our city, and we're talking serious stuff. And I get this call, and it's my wife. She knows I'm in this meeting. And I answer it. She said, "You need to get home right now." And I said, "Well, honey, I'm in this meeting." She said, "I said you need to get home right now." And so I looked at this guy and I said, "Man, I'm really sorry. And I know we just got started, but I got to go home." And somebody, of course, you know, nobody was willing to own up to it, but somebody flooded the whole bonus room.
Oh, uh-huh.
And when I walked into the garage going into the house, water was coming out of the smoke detectors.
Oh, my
From upstairs.
And the smoke detectors were going off. I couldn't get them to stop.
Yeah,
and
you had to have backup, Beth. Absolutely.
Yes.
That requires a phone call.
that was probably one of the most dramatic times. It was a complete accident, but they were so terrified. And they, you want to talk about loyalty to one another? They knew exactly who did it, and they weren't outing anybody. It took us weeks before we found out who did it.
Yeah.
And
it was an accident. I mean, they right. You know, the toilet was stopped up, and right. But they just kept flushing, you know.
Yeah.
And it was, it was bad.
That happened to us on Christmas Day. I remember looking up in our kitchen, and there was a light over, we had a small island in our kitchen in Louisville, and water's pouring out of that light fixture on Christmas Day.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And because of flushing problems upstairs, I get it. So, Larry, you run home, and you know, you don't want to alarm the kids. These things just happen. This is not a foster or adopt issue. This is a raising kids issue, right?
Right.
And so, I know. How did you guys find the best way to handle when these things happen?
I don't know that we're ones to give advice on that, really.
Yeah, that particular day, I was not in my best form. But now, I was just loud. I was just loud.
Yeah.
And we laugh about it now. The kids think it's funny now because I guess I was acting like a, you know, a maniac. but weeks later, I was still asking, guys, nobody's in trouble. Just help me know what happened.
Uh-huh.
And finally, one of our children, I won't out this particular child on this, but admitted to it. Yeah. And I said, well, why didn't you just tell me?
Yeah.
And he said, I was afraid.
Yes.
And I said, afraid of what? That you wouldn't love me.
Yeah, it's a trust issue. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And it just broke my heart. But it gave me an opportunity to just reaffirm to them that nothing is ever going to change our love for you. So don't ever be afraid to talk to us. Now, I wish that had fixed everything forever, mm-hmm. but right. We still have those times when it's like, look, you're always going to get more trouble for lying to me than for whatever it is that you're lying about. So just tell me.
Yeah.
So they still struggle to give all the story, but that's not unique to foster care or adoption.
No.
That's humanity, I guess. But
it is.
But it was a great opportunity for us as a family, even though we were probably 2 years away from adoption at that point, but to learn as a family how to handle crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then the kids will bring up something about me being mad, and I'm like, I don't get mad. And I said, have you ever seen me mad? And they're like, yeah, one time.
Remember that time the toilets overflowed?
And I said, but when I got mad, I just was loud.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything, didn't break anything. I was just loud.
You know, and to bring humor in with that, and you know us, y'all know us well enough to know that we survive on humor.
Yes.
And
it just brought us through so much in life. But sometimes it's just so painful. It's hard. It takes a while to find the joy in it, you know. But
right.
And I just want to reiterate this. Adoption and foster care, it is hard. And as they become young adults, they just They really struggle with, where are my pieces? How do my pieces fit together? Lord, where were you when we were going through this? Because I know your goal, Larry, is to usher your children into a relationship with Christ.
Right.
And to take them to glory with us, to all be with Jesus together. And that is what I long for, you know, that all of my family is together. And at the same time, you know, for them to be able to trust us, and as you said earlier, to have not missed life when you were looking at Empty Nest and all the plans you guys had, maybe to travel or to do the things, you know, that you had planned on doing together, but to have missed out on knowing these precious human beings, these beautiful souls that God has placed in our family, I would never have wanted to miss that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what they just bring into, and there is a lot of hard times, and there's a lot of overflow toilets. We're going to have that anyway.
Right. I don't know. I guess I would say if anybody's, you know, if anybody's interested or if you're in the middle of it, is just to be flexible. I mean, there were so many times where we would have a visit or, you know, something gets canceled, and Larry and I it would be like on their visit we would try to have a little date, and I mean sometimes we couldn't because he would have something or whatever.
Oh, you mean with their parent, their
yeah, when they had a visit with their, right, with their biological,
we could run 2 hours, you know, for 2 hours, and we could go get sushi.
Yeah, we could go on a sushi date or something, you know, and some always we couldn't because of his schedule or whatever, but we would try to, and I mean, the day that I would have that set up and like, yeah, you meet me here, I'm going to drop the kid, like somebody didn't show, you know, and it would fall through. And I would just be thinking, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
But just to be flexible and just, I mean, you know, we would wait and wait and wait. And I'd call Larry and say, sorry, we don't get to have our, you know, we don't get to have our date or whatever.
Right.
But I mean, so many times, you know, DCS is not a perfect system. There were times where I'm just like, what are you people doing? You know, let's get the ball rolling. And, you know, I had to remember I wasn't their only case.
Yeah.
You know, they had our caseworker. I mean, I don't even know how many kids she had, you know, and just to be flexible and to remember that life is not all about you, you know, even in the situation when you're caring for somebody else's kids, it's still not about you. Everybody's got stuff, and that's not very profound, but
no,
it's just super, to take the focus off of,
super,
you know,
helpful.
I had to take the focus off of myself a lot of times, to get through tough situations. So.
Well, I have told many people that if you need perfection and you need everything to go as planned, foster care is probably not for you.
That's right.
Because we live in a broken world, and there's brokenness all around us, and in a system that is seriously overtaxed. And by taxed, I don't mean money, but you know, money can't fix necessarily all that's going on. Just there are so many children and so few workers that can meet the demands. And then when you throw in the fact that bureaucrats at the state capitol or federal level give all these demands, all these laws that, you know, they have to abide by, you know, the workload is insane. And so there are things that happen or don't happen that you weren't expecting. And so flexibility, I think, is a good
just
thing.
To give grace.
Yeah.
Give grace.
All right.
I mean, that's what I would say. Give grace, because, you know, just when you would think that, you know, this court date was going to happen on this court date, you know, and then they would extend, you know, and I would be thinking, are you kidding me? Like, why? You know, but, I mean, and their mom at the adoption, at the parental, the TPR, the termination of parental rights, you know, she appealed it, which that's what got us into COVID. And I was so irritated with her attorney for letting her do it, because she wasn't going to win, but it was also her right. And that's it was right. her kids.
It was her kids.
And she fought for them. And so I give her that, you
yes.
know. It extended it a long time, because if the TPR had been done then, we wouldn't have gotten into COVID. But, you know, it could have broken a relationship. I mean, you know, you just never know. So I would just say give grace.
Yeah, and give grace to ourselves as parents, right, in our marriages, that
right.
we think that we're going to bring them into our home and, you know, we're all going to love them, and it's just going to pull them out of all their pain and their grief and their loss and their broken place. But it doesn't do that. You know, it doesn't right. always do that. But it at least, and what a picture of our Lord Jesus, it at least, he equips us to be willing to walk with them in it and through it, and that through life, they don't have to battle this alone. And that family, their family's now, you know, forever. And, you know, like you said, Larry, the Lord's not calling out perfection here. He's not right. calling out for perfection. He's calling out people who will humble themselves before him and willing to say, Lord, you take our home and you use it for your glory. And that's what you guys have done. And you've just been just such a sweet story today to so many. Larry, would you just take a minute and just maybe pray for foster families who are listening, or for families who are maybe like in that time, that little season you guys are in, we found ourselves in, like, oh, is this for us? I'm not sure. You know, we almost have empty nests. Do we really want to do this to our family? Maybe just pray for some folks listening today who are maybe in that season, or who are struggling with a placement and are going through yes. a hard time.
Before I pray, I wanted to just say that not everybody's called to be foster parents.
That's right.
But I do think that we're all called to foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be coming alongside a family that's doing foster care and just saying, what can I do to help?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a supper, or you know, the guy in our church that dropped off those four bicycles that first weekend. You know, that kind of stuff is just so huge. So everybody's not called to be a foster parent, but we are called to foster care. So find your place, you know, mm-hmm. find your passion and to do that. But certainly I will pray for foster parents that are in all these different phases. Mm-hmm. So let's pray. Gracious Father, as we come before your throne, Lord, we are reminded that you are love, and Lord, you have exhibited grace. We sometimes think of the attributes that you have, but in reality, these attributes are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are love, and you are grace, and your kindness. And Lord, I'm just so grateful today that we could be recipients personally of who you are. And then, Lord, how you turn that around and cause that to flow through us.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, forgive us for the time that we have spent in our lives thinking of theoretical grace and theoretical compassion, theoretical kindness, when there is so much opportunity around us to make that theoretical real and practical. And Father, I thank you for the journey that you gave Beth and me and our girls and now our whole family. Lord, I thank you for opening my eyes and opening my heart and now giving opportunities to open my mouth. Lord, we pray today for families like ours. Lord, I pray for those couples, those families that are contemplating the possibility of foster care, that, Lord, you will give peace, certainly, but God, I trust that you will meet them where they are as you met us where we were. And whatever concerns they have, even if they're full-blown fears, whatever concerns they have, that, Lord, you will meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we pray for those foster families that are struggling with placements. They have taken those steps. They have done what they believe to be the right thing. And now that the children are there, they're they're having that crisis of faith that Henry Blackaby talked about. Mm-hmm. They're wondering, what on earth have we done? Lord, I pray that you will carry them through that this particular season, that this is not this crisis is not permanent. This is a time of transition. Lord, I pray for peace. I pray for hope. I pray for patience and perseverance in those families. Lord, I pray for those families that are moving toward adoption, that you will give them patience and peace at every step.
Yes.
But Lord, I pray especially today for children,
yes,
for children who are in crisis situations. Lord, some have not yet gone into custody, but will. Some have gone into custody and their lives have been turned upside down. And like the children of Israel in the wilderness, longed for Egypt because Egypt was all they ever knew. Lord, sometimes these children long for their homes because mm-hmm. it's all they've ever known.
Yeah.
And Lord, I just pray that you will pour out like a heavy rain, pour out your grace upon these children, upon their families. And Lord, I take this chance to pray for moms and dads who are just at a bad point in their life and are making bad decisions that have caused them to lose their kids. Lord, I pray that you would do something amazing in their life. May they hear and respond to the good news of Jesus, because we know that Jesus is the only answer to all the brokenness mm-hmm. and the sorrow and the evil that's in the world today. It is Jesus. And so, Father, we pray for not just families to be reunited, but for families to be healed mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus, to be healed, to be made whole. And so, Father, we commit all of this to you. We know that you love us and you love them more than we could ever imagine. But Father, we pray that you will do what only you can do. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Larry Amen. And Beth, thank you so much for joining us for this series during Foster Care Awareness and Adoption Month, and just helping me continue to raise awareness. Thank you for opening your lives to other children, and thank you for being willing to share your story. We sure love you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.